Let's pray, and then Shane will come for that opening hymn here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're grateful to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, even when we're unfaithful. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, Lord. We know that you're a God, that you are able to do even what we would consider the impossible. Lord, I pray we've come tonight hungering and thirsting for righteousness, hungering for the word of God. Lord, we're thankful that you are the bread of life, and he that hungereth can come to you, Lord, and truly be satisfied and filled. Thank you for each one that's here tonight. Lord, we so pray for many in our church family who, Lord, during these winter months just have lingering sicknesses. Could be a stomach bug, a flu that's going around, just a lot of sickness going around. Several that are still recovering, Lord. Joe Waskavich and family with a knee surgery there, Lord, and some sickness in the family. We think of Miss Barbara Rott going in Tuesday, Lord, to get her broken arm checked out, Lord. We're praying that heals properly and that the doctors were happy with its progress so that she would not need surgery. And Lord, quite a few others, Lord, I know that have been on the prayer chain, different needs, unspokens. Lord, we're grateful that we can pray to you at any time, driving to work, Lord, even in as we sing a hymn, we can have in our heart someone that's on our heart. Lord, we pray that we would be faithful, Lord, in lifting up our brothers and sisters in Christ, the lost, sharing the gospel, and Lord, and working hard till you come, Lord. We look forward to that soon return. Lord, bless our service tonight, all that's done, the singing, the preaching, the fellowship, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing, grab that hymnal.
All right, that is hymn number 313, 313, we're marching to Zion, 313.
Come ye that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song the sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those who refuse to seek never know our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King. May wake their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, a beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion here, a thousand secrets weigh. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, walk the golden streets, or walk the golden street. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
On the last, then let our songs abound and every tear be dry.
We're marching through Emmanuel's crown, we're marching through Emmanuel's crown, through fairer worlds on high, through fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching up into Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Thank you. child of my Father above. We're going to take our song books once more and turn to 443. We'll remain seated as we sing 443, He Hideth My Soul. We'll sing the first, the second, and the fourth stanza. First, second, and fourth.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, that rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
On the second,
a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
On the last, when clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Amen. Well, good evening to everyone. Feels like maybe I'm on trial here or something. Pastor's here. Pastor Cremard's here. They're getting me started early. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to end early, go long, or what. Oh, and he's got the pen for the notes, so I'll get my critique later. I'm going to laugh at them about as much as I laughed at that paper, Pastor. Well, tonight I want to, in essence, continue a little bit from what Pastor Boyer started with and has been dealing with. Not that he asked me to do anything, and he had no idea what I was going to speak on this tonight, what I'd been kind of contemplating and studying when he asked me if I would speak, but it really dovetails pretty nicely, I believe, with what he was speaking about this morning. And most of us, if not all of us, have worked at different times in different places, whether most of us work secular jobs at one time or another. And if I was to ask you, how's your work ethic, I would expect most of us to say, well, yeah, my work ethic is pretty good. I have a good work ethic. I work hard or this or that. The real question might be if I asked a coworker or your boss, how is this person's work ethic? Hopefully they would say, yeah, they're a hard worker. They're the same. Hopefully they would give the same answer. And most of us probably do work hard. We want to do what's right. We want to work hard. We want to treat our employers correctly. But I wonder if we carry that same level of work ethic that we may put into our secular jobs into our spiritual work. Now, this isn't a message pointed at pastors, because as Pastor has been teaching us, we all have work to do. We all have ways that we can be serving the Lord. We all have jobs that we can do, and it may be different for each one of us. We're each given different gifts. We're each at different stages in our life. But we all can be serving. And so tonight, I want to consider, how is your work ethic when it comes to your spiritual walk? And we're going to consider three different aspects of our work or our spiritual service: that of the matter of it, the manner of it, and the motive of it. And we'll look at three different passages tonight in regards to that, but let's open this evening in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have again to come into your house, to hear your word, to open your Bible that you have given us, to see the truth that is in it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us now as we contemplate our spiritual service, Lord, and as we think through that and as we evaluate what we're going to look at tonight and we apply it to our lives then as we leave, Lord, I pray that if it need be, that you would do business with each and every one of us, even tonight, and that we would not leave here the same as we came in, but we would leave here looking to serve you better. We pray this now in your name. Amen. So we're going to look at three different passages that deal with each of these aspects that I've mentioned. The first is James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Pastor actually hinted at this. We're not going to focus necessarily on the section that he got to, but if I was to say that we're saved by works, I hope everybody would rise up and walk out. We all know that we are not saved by our works, and the point of tonight's message is not to emphasize that in any way, because that is not what the Scripture teaches. We are saved by grace. We are saved by faith. But yet James teaches that faith is not the end. It's not that, okay, we have our faith and that's the end of the story, but faith is supposed to produce works. So when it comes to the matter of our spiritual service, the first point is we should be working faithfully. If you look at James chapter 2, look at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, all Scripture does not conflict with each other. And we know that this is written by James, it's not written by Paul, and Paul focuses significantly on faith. But James here is not saying in that first verse that we read, can faith save him? His point isn't to say that, well, no, faith isn't enough. That's not his point. But faith should work in our hearts to produce a desire to serve the Lord. It shouldn't be enough for our faith to just absorb, as Pastor has said. And this could easily be misunderstood, but the example he gives is, if you've got a brother or sister, or you've got a neighbor, a church member that's hungry, They're thirsty. They have no money for food. They have nothing that they can make. The refrigerator's empty. And you go, peace be with you. Be ye filled. Enjoy the meal. And walk away. He said, what does that profit them? Now, should they have faith? Of course. But it's not testing your faith when they're hungry. It's testing their faith to trust that the God will provide, and he will provide, but we can be that mechanism. But we like to think, well, I have faith. That's all I need. But for those that have been parents, or I know my parents, when I came into this world, I had no say in the matter. But I was birthed into a new life, and I was alive. But if I had sat in my crib and didn't move, and just laid there day after day, I have a feeling my parents would have taken me to the hospital. Something's wrong. If I had grown up and reached a point where I had finished my high school education, maybe gotten a college degree, and I'm still living at home, but I'm not doing anything. I just sit around watching television all day or something. I don't know. My mom's doing my laundry. My mom's making my meal. My dad's out working hard to put the roof over, and I'm just sitting there. I have a feeling my parents might not have been too happy with me. Why? Because I'm not working. Yes, I'm alive. I'm breathing, but I'm not contributing anything. I'm not doing anything to help my family. I'm not doing anything to help society. And I'm guilty of it, you know, of the younger generations that in the world that we see, and they just want everything now, and we can rage and whatnot on that. But is that what our spiritual life is like? Are we content to just say, well, I'm spiritually alive, but that's all I need? I have my faith, and that's verse 17, verse 18. Okay, you've got faith, and I've got works. I mean, I've got my faith, that's all. His point, well, show me the evidence of your faith without doing anything. And I'll show you the evidence of my faith by what I'm doing. How I'm living out my faith. How I'm saying God has given me this life eternal, and how much little is it that I could give back to others? We have to be working faithfully. But secondly, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Because many of us are working. Many of us help out in a variety of ways. But when it comes to working, that's just showing up and doing. That's not the evidence of a good work ethic. You might have worked with a lot of people. They might do a lot of work, but you might still say, well, they don't really have a good work ethic. Because the second element is the method of our work, which we're going to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. The method of our spiritual work should be that we should be working cheerfully. As I said, you might have worked with somebody that, yeah, they do a lot of work, but they sure make it known how much they dislike doing all the work that they're doing, or how the boss isn't treating them right, or they're not paid enough, or whatever it might be. Are they any fun to work with? Are they any joy to be around when they're like, yeah, okay, I know, it's maybe it's a time of overtime. Ooh, that dreaded word. And everybody else is pitching in, and there's that one guy that's like, man, I just hate being here. Why is the boss making us do this? Well, yeah. Maybe you've got 1 hour of overtime, but sure, that 1 hour is going to feel like 10 days working with somebody like that. And you're going to get to the end of that hour. Was it really only an hour? Because they're not cheerful. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, woohoo, yeah, let's go overtime. I'm not saying that that's the point. But we can drag somebody down with our attitude. And in this passage, we see that we're to give cheerfully. And you say, okay, well, that's giving. And in the context, yes. What Paul is teaching here is in dealing with the Corinthian church that they were had said they would participate in an offering to the church of Jerusalem. But they hadn't followed through. And Paul is admonishing them for that. And that's not the point. It's not saying it's tonight that we need to be giving financially. But I think the application is there that if we're to give of our finances cheerfully, then I think we should also be giving of our talents cheerfully. We should be joyously serving the Lord. If I got up here and I started, and we didn't have special music, but let's say I got up here and I sang, "There is joy in serving Jesus." There is joy in serving Jesus. Does anybody believe me? Is anybody going to want to sit through four verses or three verses, whatever's in that song, of "There is joy in serving Jesus" at that level? Shane's going to take me out of the choir if I did that. But yet, you had somebody that has real joy in their heart because of their salvation, and there is joy in serving Jesus. I mean, they might not even be able to sing it, but it doesn't matter. Their joy is just evident. But what about when we're doing whatever the work may be? Whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, helping with the teens, helping with the Tykes for Truth, or the Little Tykes, or what about cleaning the church, or whatever the ministry may be. Maybe it's cooking a meal for somebody that's just had some kind of surgery or something. Is it a joy to you? Or is it, oh, I got to do this again? Didn't I just do the cleaning? Sometimes it does feel like that, but is that the pattern of your attitude? Oh, I just did this, and I got to be here again. And I've got the sanctuary zone, and that's so much vacuuming. Now, perhaps you have somebody that you're helping, and maybe they have the joy that comes with it, and they're, you know, dusting or whatever, changing the light bulbs, and you're just dragging them down. That's not the way the scripture says. It says here when we're to give not grudgingly. What is it? Not grumpily. Not frowning. Well, I guess I'll get this done. Steve and Sharon take the trash out every Sunday. And they give each other a hard time about it, but they have joy in giving each other a hard time about it. Steve has joy in giving us a hard time about a lot of things, but there's joy in it. But I can give somebody a hard time, and it's obvious that I don't have joy in what I'm doing. But it's not just not grudgingly, but it's also not of necessity. If you walk into your ministry or whatever, well, I got to do this. I don't have a choice. You know, nobody else is going to do it or whatever. Then is that the right attitude to have? Is that the right manner of your work? That's only something that you can answer. Turn to Mark chapter 12. And we'll see the third, and then we'll kind of apply this. Because if we're supposed to be working faithfully and working cheerfully, the final matter is our motive. And that's that we must be working selflessly. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, because I know when I work my regular job, I expect to be paid. And if my employer decides not to pay me, I start to get a little grumpy. In fact, there's been a mistake in my last pay, and I actually have a note into my HR department because I'm missing some. And I expect that they've contracted with me for that. And so I use the term work, and I don't really like that term, because the Lord's work is a service. Now, our pastor, it's his work. But it's not his job to worry about what he's paid. That's our job. And we've discussed that at the business meeting. But for us, most of us, it's volunteer. We shouldn't expect to get paid, and I don't think we do. But are we working selflessly still, or are we working for recognition, for who's going to know that we did this? Looking back at Mark chapter 12, verse 41, this will be a familiar story. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now again, this is dealing directly with financial gifts, but it equally applies to our spiritual talents, our spiritual gifts. What's the reason behind why we want to do and why we want to serve? And really, only you can answer that. I can't answer that for anybody but myself. And so the question has to come up, well, what is it you're doing? I'm up here speaking because Pastor asked me to, but could I have the wrong attitude? Could I have the attitude of, well, I just want to be seen. I want people to know that I'm in the ministry or working towards it? Sure, I could. Could I be pestering Pastor? Hey, I need more opportunities to speak. I need the practice. But in my heart, well, I want people to hear me because I think I'm wise and intelligent. Perhaps it's not something that's seen. Perhaps back to the church cleaning. Nobody really knows, unless you're looking at the bulletin every week, and I never look at it until I get the email from Katie, hey, you're up. And then I go, oh, whoops. But I don't look and see, oh, who did it last week or who's doing the other zones. I have enough to worry about. But could I come and clean the church and make sure that everybody knows what I did? Oh, you see this, I don't know, those toilets, they're extra clean this week. I made sure, I scrubbed them out real good. And I tell everybody that I run into, yeah, did you see those toilets? Sure, I could. But what is that saying about my motive? Am I cleaning the church because I want to serve the Lord, or am I cleaning the church because it's a way that I can make sure people know that I'm doing something? That can apply to whatever we're doing, whether it's up here preaching, whether it's in the choir, whether it's cleaning the church, doing Sunday school, it doesn't matter. I can remember a while back having a conversation with somebody, and they were essentially complaining, oh, I can't serve in my church. I said, what do you mean you can't serve in your church? Well, I can't serve in my church. They don't let me serve in my church. Well, what do you mean? And I dug a little into it and found out, well, I can't serve in the way that I want to serve. Okay. As I dug a little deeper, I discovered that the way that they wanted to serve was publicly, up in front of the people. And I pressed a little on that, and I said, well, surely there's other ways that you could help. Well, yeah, I guess I could do this, and it was something that's not going to get notice. And I tried to ask the person, I said, so what is your motive? Why is it you want to serve in the area you want to serve in? And they hemmed and hawed at it, and because I've done that before. Okay, that's fine. Do they need help? Well, not really. They've got a bunch of people that already do that. Where do they need help? Well, over here. And I encourage that person, well, if that's where they need the help, and you can't really answer me as to what your real motive is behind serving, why don't you serve somewhere where you don't get the recognition to start with? And if you can start there and get the joy, and the Lord brings you joy in serving, then you can test your motives. As far as I know, they walked away from it, whatever. They never did anything with it. But that's can be applicable to us, is that we have to be serving in such a way that we're noticed? Or do we have to serve in such a way that we get compensation for it, or whatever it might be? But we should be serving faithfully, we should be serving cheerfully, and we should be serving selflessly. So what does that really look like for us? And we've touched on it a little bit. But first and foremost, I think I'm talking almost all, if not to all believers, but if there's not, first and foremost, you have to be alive. Laura will tell you, the dead do not work. The spiritually dead are not going to work properly for the Lord. They might run through the motions, but they're not really working. So if you're not saved, if you're not spiritually alive today, that's the first step. There has to be that coming of salvation. There has to be, and it's not by works. It is by faith. But assuming I'm talking to most, if not all, believers, then the first question is, are you involved? As Pastor said, are you connected? But I'm going to say, kind of flip it, if you're not connected as much as you would like to be, what's in the way? What's preventing you from serving? Perhaps you might say, well, everything wants, you know, the areas that need help all want church membership. Okay, what's preventing church membership for you? Is it baptism? Okay, what's preventing you from being baptized? Well, we're not having a class. Well, what's preventing you us from having a class? Well, we don't know that you want it. Perhaps it's just a matter of, well, I don't have the time. Okay, well, that may be. But what are you spending your time on? What, if you were to catalog your average day or your average week, what would be at the top of the list? I didn't do the math, and I can't do the math well in my head for what, how many hours are in a full week. But whatever that number is, we'll just use a percentage. If 50% of your time is spent around sports, I'm looking up sports, I'm watching sports, I'm talking about sports, and you've got another 30% sleeping and you're working. See, I just don't have time. Seems like there's a lot of time that could be spent for the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that sports are bad. But I'm asking, what are you spending your time on? Is time really the problem, or is it that you just really don't want to be serving? But many of us are serving in a variety of ways. Many, you may clean, you may teach Sunday school, you may do junior church. And as Pastor said, maybe there's there may be some that need to go, I need to step back. Pastor likes to tell me, I need to learn to say no. And it's something that we all need to know. But for what ministries you're in, we're at the beginning of February. Look back over January. How was your attitude while you were in those ministries? Were you coming to do junior church, cleaning, whatever it might have been? Were you coming with an attitude of, I get to serve the Lord today? Or were you coming with an attitude of, this again? Was it a grudging necessity? Or was it a joyous fulfillment of our spiritual walk? And I have to say the same to me, because we can all get that way. We all have lives that we have to do. We all have jobs, and they take up a lot of time. We all need sleep, and that takes up time. We all do need time to go, okay, I need to breathe a little. We can work and overwork, but look back a month. Look back 2 months. Look back 3 months. And if you're constantly saying, well, I'm constantly coming with an attitude of, I have to do this. When was the last time that you came with joy for serving Jesus? I can't answer that. Hopefully it would be, yeah, the last time I was here, I was glad to be serving the Lord in whatever capacity that I could. And everybody has different capacities. We can't all do the same things. You will never catch me up on the roof of this church doing anything. Just not an area that I am going to be at. And I've been told that OSHA would recommend me not be up there either. But does that mean I can't help on, you know, we got a leak in the roof, I can't help. Well, then woe is me, I can't help. But then finally, what is our motive? And really, motive and the method kind of go hand in hand in a lot of ways. Because if you're serving because you want to serve the Lord, then that's going to be what's on your mind, and you're going to be joyous in doing it. But if you are doing it to be recognized and you're not getting the recognition, then that's going to breed frustration, grudgingness, necessity. The two are in many ways dovetailed together. Now, if you say, well, yeah, I guess I've been a little of the wrong motive, or I've been a little upset, the answer isn't, well, I need to give up that ministry because I don't like it. That's not what I'm suggesting. Don't everybody bail on all the ministries because, well, I'm grudging. Well, why are you upset about it? Why is it a burden to serve the Lord? That's what we need to get to. And only you can get it. Maybe it's we need to spend more time with the Lord and recognize the joys that He has bestowed upon us. If we're focused on what God has done for us, then more often than not, we're going to be much more prone to share it out, because we'll be giving Him the glory, regardless of what anybody else knows. But if we're focused on, well, me, then when I'm not getting the recognition, or I'm not getting this, or it's not going my way, woe is me, have you caught the distinction? It's all focused on us. And we can start to butt heads with other people. We can start to bring them down because of our attitude. The verse we had last month was to work, that Jesus said He was going to work because it was day. I struggled with that verse a little bit because the song "Work for the Night is Coming," which is based on it, but that's not the way the verse goes. And I kept wanting to say that as the verse, and that wouldn't have gotten me anywhere. But we need to be working. We need to be serving. And perhaps the song might be better for the congregation. Serve, for the night is coming. But it's not enough to just serve. We have to know why we're serving. And if we're not serving with the right attitude, we're not serving for the right reasons, then we need to go back to the Lord and say, God, my attitude is wrong. My motive is wrong. Can you help correct the attitude? Don't take me out of the ministry. I want to serve. I want to get right with you. I want to keep serving. But Lord, I need to be serving with the right approach. And if that means nobody knows what I'm doing, then nobody knows, Lord, because I'm not doing it for my honor. I'm not doing it for my glory. I'm doing it for your honor, for your glory, so that your name can be uplifted. And that's all that matters. And we could look at a lot of different passages, and I didn't pick them all out. I picked the three that I chose. So how is it tonight? How is your service ethic? Is it something that God is proud of? Because He's the only one that really matters. And He knows the heart. Would God say, if He were here today, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Your service has brought me honor"? Or would He say, "You've received your reward"? I can't answer it except for me. And it's something that I think all of us at different times have or are struggling with. Because it's so easy to get back into the flesh. So as we close, how's your service ethic tonight? Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had as we prepare to close here, Lord. Lord, Pastor has been encouraging. The time is now. And there, we've all been granted spiritual gifts. We all that are believers have a way that we can serve, and we need to be serving, Lord. But Lord, just serving is not evidence of a good work ethic. And Lord, if there's any of us, myself included, that needs to address our attitudes, address our motives, or address our service, then Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to do just that, to go home and to be praying to you, Lord, and saying, look, God, forgive me. I need to address this in my heart. Help me to come back to the next time that I have to serve with joy in my heart. Help me to be doing it for your honor and glory, not for my own benefit. And Lord, I pray that you would bring us back again Wednesday. Lord, ready to lay our burdens at your feet. Lord, give us safety as we prepare to leave. We pray in your name. Amen. Mm-hmm.